Lord, I pray You'd bless the next few moments as we do the most important thing that anybody could do at any time, and that is open Your Word and attempt to learn from it. Lord, I pray You'd would help me. I've got notes written down, Father. I've got things I'd like to say, but I need the Holy Spirit to help me, the Holy Spirit to come upon me, that the Word may be ministered to the group that is gathered this morning. Father, I pray that You'd help us to not leave here this morning the same way we came, that we might learn something, not just learn it, but apply it to our lives, that we might be challenged, that we may make changes in our lives, Lord, that we would leave here better than how we came. Father, we love You. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. Well, we're there in Luke chapter number 2, and obviously Luke chapter 2, and then of course Matthew chapter number 2 are the well-known passages for being what people consider the Christmas story. And as you go through Luke there, you find the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and read the first 7 verses again. Very well-known passage there, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That's the Christmas story. The Lord Jesus Christ is born. Now, we could preach out of those 7 verses, and I have before. But this morning, you know, preaching the Christmas sermon every year is a little bit of a challenge. You know what I mean? Because you got to preach on Christmas every year. You know, the story doesn't change. You know what I mean? So, you got to have to find different things to point out and stuff. And this morning, I want to, as quickly as we can do it, I want to this morning point out for you just a couple things, a few things, 3 things actually, out of the message that came to the shepherds the night that Jesus Christ was born. We read there the first 7 verses of chapter 2, and the Lord Jesus Christ is born, the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and I want you to notice something here in verse number 8, Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, and there were in the same country, now make note of this, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now I want you to understand what's about to happen here. Look down at verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now it's easy to read that. But you know, whenever you read the Bible, you ought to attempt to kind of put yourself there. And think about how amazing that moment. I mean, here you got these shepherds. They're abiding in the field. They're keeping watch their flock by night. You know, just looking at the context. And let me go ahead and say this for some of you. I understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th, alright? Maybe you didn't know that. That's the day that people, that was chosen, whatever. It's fine. I don't mind it. I like Christmas. We understand these shepherds. It doesn't seem like it's really cold outside. They're sleeping outside, alright? They're watching. That's a common thing for shepherds to do, to be sleeping outside. They're kind of camping out. They're watching the flock. They've probably been doing this for months, alright? They're just there. It's just another night. And all of a sudden, the Bible says in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I mean, could you imagine being out in the field, out at night, it's dark, you're looking up, you see all the stars, maybe you got a little fire going, you got the sheep there, and you're just talking, you're doing whatever, and all of a sudden this huge light just flashes in the sky. The Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And like any of us would react, they were so afraid. I mean, they're like, what is going on? I think I just saw a UFO. You know, what was that? Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. See, they're afraid. And notice what the angel says, for behold, I bring you good tidings. The word good tidings, by the way, same word as gospel. He said, I bring you the gospel. He said, I bring you good tidings. A great joy which shall be to all people. Now notice what he says. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now here's what you're going to understand. The angels, Jesus Christ is born. And by the way, this has been prophesied in the Old Testament. There are tons of prophecies leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. And here, I mean, this is what the Bible is all about. The birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like we said, saying this morning, He was born to die upon Calvary. The Bible is centered on the life of Jesus Christ. From the moment when we begin reading Genesis, when we have the story of the Garden of Eden, from that moment when they sinned, God promised Eve that there would come a seed from the woman that would bring deliverance because of sin. I mean, the whole Bible has been building up to this one moment.
Amen.
The prophets have been looking for it.
Come on.
The kings have been looking for it. I mean, everything in the universe has been looking forward to this moment. And here it happens. The Savior is born. The Messiah is born. The angels come down. I mean, do you understand? This is a birth announcement like no one other.
Amen.
This wasn't just a little card made at Walmart with a picture. You know what I mean? I mean, the angels come down. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. I mean, this must have been such a sight.
Amen.
Come on, Pastor.
I mean, wouldn't you have loved to have been there?
Yes, amen.
But I got to ask you this question. Have you ever considered who the angels went to? Think about this. For all history, we've been waiting for the Messiah to be born. The Savior, the Christ. God sends down His heavenly host to announce the birth of God in the flesh. Matthew chapter 1 tells us His name shall be called Emmanuel because... I'm going to misquote it. Good night. Let's look at it real quickly. Matthew chapter 1. This was no common man. Matthew chapter number 1. Look at verse number 23. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. I mean, this is God with us. This is Emmanuel. The angels come down to announce this. And you got to understand this, okay? You and I would think, you know, if we had to guess, if we didn't know the story and somebody told you, hey, angels came down to announce the birth of Christ, you and I would think, well, obviously they went to royalty. You understand that? That's what you and I would assume. Obviously they must have gone to religious leaders. Obviously they must have gone to a governor. Obviously they must have gone to rich people. Obviously they must have gone to somebody of wealth or somebody of fame. But no, God sends the announcement of the birth of the Christ and He goes to shepherds. Isn't that interesting? You ever think about that? Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You say, why is it that God sent the announcement to shepherds? Here's what you understand. If you're taking notes, point number one, the message was a message to sinners. The message was a message to sinners. Notice what it says. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a... What's that next word say? Savior. Let's say that together. Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. The message was to sinners. Therefore, God chose not to announce it to the high priest. There was high priest in those days. God chose not to announce it to the Levites, so there was Levites in those days. He chose not to announce it to the Pharisees. He chose not to announce it to the Sadducees. He chose not to announce it to the lawyers. He chose not to announce it to the Roman emperor. He chose these shepherds. And here's what you got to understand, okay? The message is a message to sinners. Therefore, God chose. And here's what you understand. The whole ministry of Jesus Christ has been focused on this one thing. Reaching sinners. He said, he went to shepherds. Now, keep your finger there in Luke chapter 2. Go to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 2. Go to verse number... Luke chapter number 7, verse number 22. Luke chapter number 7, verse 22. These men were not royalty. They were not religious leaders. They were the common man. They were a poor man. And I'm here to tell you, a ministry that is attempting to pattern themselves as the ministry of Jesus Christ ought to go out and reach the common man.
Amen.
Luke chapter number 7, look verse 2. Then Jesus answering said unto them. Now, remember, John the Baptist brought his disciples. John the Baptist is doubting a little bit here in his ministry. He sends his disciples to go ask Jesus to make sure, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know, John's in prison, and the answer comes from Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 7, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, notice what he says, go your way and tell John. Notice what he tells him to tell. John, what things ye have seen and heard. How that, now notice what Jesus says, the blind. blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Now notice the last part. This defines the ministry of Jesus Christ. To the poor, the gospel is preached.
Amen.
People came to Jesus, they said, why are you hanging around with a bunch of sinners? And he said, hey, they that are holy, not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, when we were starting Verity Baptist Church 3 years ago, go to James chapter number 2. When we were starting Verity Baptist Church, I look into, you know, all these church planning articles and church planning books. And people say, and here's the number one thing people tell you today in our day and age. If you're going to start a church, don't start it in the ghetto. Don't start it in high crime areas. I don't know, are we a high crime area? Church got broken into twice. Band got broken into thrice. Don't. See, you want to start in the suburbs. Because you want to be around people that have money. You want to be around people that, you know, have their act together. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ came to those who are in need. He said, I came to the blind. He said, I came to the lame. He said, I came to heal. He said, I came to the poor. And by the way, Verity Baptist Church is a spiritual hospital.
Amen.
You say, who are you trying to reach here at Verity Baptist? Who are you trying to reach in this community? Those that are needy, those that are poor, those that are without hope, because that's who Christ came to reach.
Amen, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
You say, are you trying to find, you know, everybody says this, if you just find one millionaire, and you reach that one millionaire, yeah, that'd be the guy that's like, doesn't want to tithe, you know what I mean? Say, are you against rich people? Look, I'm not against rich people, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. We'll let the rich people listen in, but we're here to reach the poor, the needy, the lost, the hopeless.
Amen. Come on.
You ever thought about this? Okay, and maybe you don't understand this. You know, you got your little nativity scene at home. I hate to break it to you. The three wise men were not at the birth of Jesus.
No.
You say, I don't understand that. Come to Wednesday night Bible study. We'll break down Matthew chapter 2. I'll prove that to you.
Uh-huh.
But think about this. The shepherds were there that night. The poor men were there that night. The broke people were there that night. The wise men with their gold and myrrh and frankincense showed up 2 years later. Just think about that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. You know, Verity Baptist Church, this week we had 17 people saved this week alone.
Come on.
Isn't that amazing? That's one of the biggest weeks we've had. You know why? We didn't do it. We didn't do it in Granite Bay.
Right.
You know why we had 17 people say this week? We spent time in the not-so-nice neighborhoods this week, knocking doors. You know why we had so many people say? I don't want to give a lot of personal information, but one of our soul winners has a family dealing with a death, and they're all in mourning, and guess what? That's the perfect time to get a whole lot of people saved.
Amen.
You got to keep your finger there wherever you're at. Go to Zephaniah in the Old Testament. Zephaniah, towards the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah, if you find those small book of the prophets, between Habakkuk and Haggai, you got the book of Zephaniah. If you got to Zechariah or Malachi, you went a little too far, alright? Okay, just right there at the end, you got Habakkuk and Haggai, you got Zephaniah. Go to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. See, Pastor Jimenez, what you need to do is to go start a church over in the area where you know, people make $200,000 in order to be able to live. Look, the Bible says, are you there? I want you to see this. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee. Notice what God says. I will leave in the midst of thee. Notice what that says. An afflicted and poor people. Do you see that? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I believe sometimes God purposely afflicts people and keeps them poor because that's the only way He can get them to trust in the Lord. See, He came. Now you got to understand. You say, Pastor Manus, why are you saying this? Go to James. Go to James in the New Testament. James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. We're trying to pattern our ministry here to the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus came to the shepherds. Now look, he got the wise men, but He came to the shepherds first. And our ministry is to find the afflicted, the poor, the hurting, those that don't have their act together, and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But listen to me, Verity Baptist Church. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to keep an attitude of loving those that may be different than us.
Amen.
Look around at this place. You know what I love about Verity Baptist Church? You see all different colors, all different shapes, all different sizes. I mean, we are a diverse people. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that the house of God was to be a house of prayer to all nations. Now, I, You think I'm joking? I grew up going to church where literally, like, I was, you know, I mean, the whole church, and if this offends you, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but where the whole church was white. I said, are you against white people? My wife is white, okay? The whole church was white. Literally, I was the darkest person in the church. And I was like 12, you know, or 15, something. You know, and you know, today, you know, what do you have? You got churches where everyone's black. Got churches where everyone's white. Got churches where everyone's Hispanic. You know, that's not biblical. The Bible says that we are all to be, hey, there is no Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female. In Jesus Christ, we all have a common bond. The birth of Christ, there, you have Jesus, you got the shepherds, you got the shepherds, therefore, you got Joseph, he's middle class, you got the wise men, sure they showed up late, but they've got money, obviously. I mean, Jesus unites people.
Amen.
That's what our church is about. Are you there in James chapter 2? And let me tell you something, if you're going to be part of any Baptist church, you better get used to having people around you that are not like you.
Amen.
Get used to having people around you that are a different color. That maybe they talk a little different. Maybe they do things a little different. Maybe they dress a little different. But let me tell you something. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our world is trying to divide us.
Right.
Our nation wants to divide us.
Right.
They wanted to put you into different groups. Well, I'm Hispanic American. They're Asian American. They're African American. How about just being American?
Amen.
You know, they want to put us, but look, in Jesus Christ, we all have one common bond. In Jesus Christ, but you got to understand this, okay? Are you there in James chapter 2? Look at verse 1. James chapter 2, verse 1. Notice what James said to the church there. He said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. He said, don't have respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. He said, look, two people walk into church, one is dressed really nice, one not so much. He said, don't have respect for one and not the other. He said, accept them both. He said, love them both. And look what he says, verse 4, are ye not partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? And heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which ye are called? And if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Go out soul winning with us. We go soul winning to nice neighbors. Look, we're trying to reach everyone. But you know when we go out soul winning for nice neighbors, you know what happens? A whole lot of fellowship. A whole lot of good fellowship within soul winners because nobody wants to talk to us. Why? Because rich people think they got it put together. I don't need Jesus. Hey, you say, that offends me. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Jesus said, look, rich people don't want to hear this. See, the worst thing that could have happened to you is your life to be perfect. Because when you don't think you need a Savior, then you don't acknowledge the Savior. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to be a Savior. Remember what he said. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And you know he said, if I'm going to announce the Savior, then I'm going to announce it to a bunch of sinners because they're going to appreciate it the most. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
I want you to consider the fact that He came to shepherds. I want you to consider the fact that He came a Savior. You got to understand this. Jesus came to a group of people that had no hope. From the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, to the book of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, 400 years went by. 400 years they had not heard from God. And when they left off, have you ever read the book of Malachi? It's not really a positive book. I mean, they leave off with God just rebuking them, and then 400 years, it's known as the 400 years of silence. You know, and nobody knows exactly how many years, but about 400 years is what everybody seems to agree on. And here's the thing. The first time that anyone hears from God, I mean, no prophet came saying, thus saith the Lord God. No man of God came saying, I have a word from God. No one saw an angel. No one heard from God. And then the first time, after a period of 400 years, that anyone hears from God, you know who hears from Him? A bunch of shepherds. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians in your New Testament there. Ephesians chapter number 2. Right after the book of Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2. See, Jesus came to a people that had no hope. Mm-hmm. He came to sinners. He came to the hopeless. Let me tell you something. When you came to Christ, or should I say, when Christ came to you, you were without hope. You may have or may not have understood that, but that's the truth. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 2? Look at verse 12. Now keep your finger there in Ephesians 2. We're going to come right back to it. But notice what he says. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time, ye were without Christ. He's saying the time that you were without Christ, before you were saved. Now let me tell you something. If you say, well, I've been a Christian my whole life, you're not saved. Talk to me after the service. We'll get that worked out, okay? No one was born a Christian. Nobody was born saved, okay? You're not Jesus, all right? You have to come to Christ. You have to have gotten saved. Now notice what it says. That at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise. Notice what he says. Having no hope. You see that? Let me tell you something. That describes Notomas. That describes this community. That describes Sacramento. Having no hope. You say, why? Why do people have no hope? Look what it says. And without God in the world. People are walking around today without God. People are walking around without a knowledge of God, without having Jesus as their Savior, without a relationship with God, not understanding what the Bible says, and they're walking around with no hope. And Jesus said, I came. He said, I came and I brought hope to those that were hopeless. Now go back to Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 12. I want you to see this, okay? He came to shepherds. He came as a Savior. But you got to understand this. Not only did He come to shepherds, not only did He come as a Savior, but He had to give them a sign. I want you to consider the sign. Notice verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Okay, do you see that? Now you understand, the angels are talking to the shepherds. He says, look, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And He says, this shall be a sign unto you. You gotta understand this. The angels are saying, let me point Him out for you, okay? Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, okay? You gotta understand this. The angels said to the shepherds, they said, when you go to find Jesus, you're not going to recognize Him. You're not going to realize who it is. Because here's what he's saying. You're going to expect Him differently than you'll find Him. Because again, think about it. If a bunch of angels showed up and said, hey, God in the flesh was just born into the world, where would you think we're going to expect Him?
Palace.
In a palace?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in a temple? Not a stable. Not a manger. Now notice verse 12. And there shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He said, let me tell you where you're going to find Him. Because you might overlook Him. Because you might miss Him. Because you're going to find Him in a way that you don't expect Him. And let me tell you something. Today it's the same thing. So many people are missing salvation because they are looking for Christ. They're looking for the Messiah. But they're finding Him differently than they expect. So what do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. The average person expects a work salvation. You understand what I mean by that? The average person expects a salvation that is of works. Most religions, you know, sometimes people say to me, you know, how do you know that your religion is the right religion? Well, all I know is the Bible. If I can line it up to the Bible, then it must be right.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. You know, people say, there are thousands of religions. Let me tell you something. There are two religions.
That's right.
Come on, Pastor.
And thousands of different names.
That's right.
And here's what most religions are. A work salvation. Mm-hmm. I earn my way to heaven based on the things I do. Now, most people won't say it that way. Most people say, no, it's faith in Jesus Christ. But here's what they'll tell you. You got to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you also got to go to the confessional. Mm-hmm. You got to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you need to get baptized. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you better repent of your sins. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you better never turn away from Him. You better live a good life. You better do this. You better do that. Let me tell you something. If you've got to do anything to be saved, then that salvation is dependent on you.
That's right.
And whether it's going into the confessional booth, whether it's going into baptistry waters, whether it's repenting of your sins, whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's living a good life, whether it's putting money in the offering plate, or whether it's, you know, praying seven times a day to Muhammad, whatever it is. Look, all religions are the same. Live a good life, and hopefully God will let you into heaven. That's what most people expect.
That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself.
That's right.
So why? Because it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We go out knocking on doors and tell people, hey, salvation is a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. Once you have it, you'll never lose it. It's eternal life. People say, I've never heard of that. And we'll say, yeah, that's why we're pointing it out to you, because we're showing you something you did not expect.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
You expect good works.
Come on, bring it.
Talk to a child. I mean, even a child who's not been corrupted. You say, how do you get to heaven? Well, living a good life. That's what's logical. But that's not the gospel.
That's right.
Because if it's something that you did, then it's based on you. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you can lose it, people say, well, once you know, you could lose it if you don't live a good life, then that salvation is still dependent on you. Mm-hmm. Bible says it's eternal life. The angel says, look, I'm going to point him out to you, because when you see him, you're not going to you're expecting something different. I'm here to tell you, the salvation of Jesus Christ. People say, well, you got to live a good life. You have to live a good life. I mean, can you really be saved? They say, can you really be saved and not live a good life? Paul put it this way. He said, if it be of grace, you know what the word grace means? It means free. It means you didn't earn it. It means you didn't pay for it. It means you did nothing for it. He said, if it be of grace, then it is no more works. You know what the word works means? It means you worked for it. You earned it. You understand this? I mean, is it that complicated? He said, if it's free, then you didn't earn it. He said, if it be of grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. He said, if it's free, then you didn't earn it. Otherwise, it's not free. And he said, and if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. He said, look, if you got to earn it, if you got to live a good life, if you got to do this, if you got to do that, then it's not free because you're doing something for it. Here's the thing. You can't have both. It's either grace or it's works, but it's not both. It's either Jesus or it's you. People say, no, well, it's faith in Jesus and my good works. It doesn't work that way.
No.
But most people don't expect that. Mm-hmm. Most people want to come to church and have them told, you come to church every Sunday morning. You miss every once in a while, no big deal. Throw a little money in the offering plate. I'll pray for you and hopefully you'll get to heaven. That's what most people want. What you don't understand is the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
Come on. So you say, well, I'm the standard. If you're the standard, you're going to hit it every time. But here's the problem. You're not the standard. God is.
That is.
And when you compare yourself to God, guess what? We all come short every time. You understand that Jesus, you say, why did Jesus come? He came to be a good teacher. He came to be a prophet. He came to show us the way. No, he did all those things, but he came to die upon Calvary. Because we needed a Savior.
That's right.
Because I can't save myself.
No.
Because there's nothing I can do to save myself. You understand that?
Man.
I often tell people this. I'll say, I'll be out so many, I'll try to explain the gospel to someone. I'll say, look, imagine this. Let's say that I stole a car. I'll say, no, you know, forget it. That doesn't make any sense. Let's say Brother Vincent stole a car. I'll say, look, imagine I stole a car, right? And let's say that I sell the car, I sell the parts, you know, the car's gone, the money's spent, cops come, they arrest me, they take me to the judge. I'm standing before the judge, and I say to the judge, hey, listen, judge, from now on, I'm going to live a good life. I mean, I'm going to help little old ladies cross the street. I'm going to buy cookies from the Girl Scouts. I mean, I'm going to do good things. I'm going to smile to people. I'm going to be a nice person. How many of you think the judge is going to say, okay, good, you're free to go? How likely is that to happen? It's not. You say, why? Why? Here's why. I already stole the car. I already broke the law. You think you're going to start, and by the way, this is what most churches think. You talk to the average Christian, they consider their salvation when they started going to church. You think you started going to church. You think you start living a good life. You think you stop shoplifting. Because I used to shoplift, but I don't anymore. It doesn't undo the fact that you're already a sinner.
That's right.
The wrath of God already abides on you. That's why Jesus came.
Uh-huh.
Not to show us a way, but to take... The Bible says our sins were laid upon Him. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm here to explain to you what Christmas is about. You think it's about gifts. You think it's about ham. You think it's about parties. And look, have family time. Have parties. Give gifts. Do whatever you gotta do. But remember, the purpose of Christ coming to this world, the reason that God was manifest in the flesh, the reason that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, is because He came to die for our sins. That's why He came.
Come on. Amen. Come on. Amen.
And it's my good works. It's not me living a good life. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's a message for everyone.
That's right.
Now here's what I'm going to say. Number one, it's a message for sinners. But number two, I want to quickly explain this to you. Not only is it a message for sinners, it's a message for society. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Now you got to understand this, okay? I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I'm proud of it. I am proud of it. See, I don't know what that means. That's okay. I'll explain to you another time. Hey, Pastor Jimenez, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. I am a Baptist. I was born a Baptist. I wasn't born saved, but I was born a Baptist. I was born a Baptist. I was raised a Baptist. I'm going to die a Baptist. Amen. The sign on the building says Verity Baptist Church. But you know, we independent from Baptists, we got the King James Bible, and we preach the Bible, and we don't like this term. Any of you ever heard of this term? Lifestyle evangelism. That's what the contemporary churches today teach. Lifestyle evangelism. What's lifestyle evangelism? You live a good life. And your neighbors, you know, they're watching you. Not the neighborhood watch. They're just watching you as you come. And they're going to watch you. And they're going to be so impressed with how good of a life you live. That they're going to come to you and just say, like, I need what you've got. And can you tell me about Jesus? Let me tell you something. That's why the world is dying and going to hell. Because there is no neighbor that's watching you mow your lawn thinking, wow, that guy mows the lawn just like Jesus would. You know how you reach people? You preach the gospel to them. You know how you reach people? You go to them and you say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know where you would go if you were to die today? Can I show you from the Bible? That's a pattern in Scripture. Lifestyle evangelism is a joke.
Uh-huh.
And we don't believe in it.
That's right.
But let me tell you this. I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism, but I do believe this. Most of our evangelism is hindered by our lifestyles. You're not going to get anybody saved by the way you live your life, but many of us are keeping people from getting saved by the way we live our lives. The message that came was for sinners, but the message that came was to society. Look what it said. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Now notice what he says. On earth, here's the message for earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. You gotta understand this. The world cannot give you peace. This world cannot give you peace. Go to Matthew chapter 9, real quickly. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're almost done. Not really, but you know, we're getting there. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Our society, our world is trying to find peace. There are people in this community, there are people sitting in this room right now who are trying to find peace, trying to find purpose at the end of a beer bottle.
Come on.
Drugs, alcohol, physical relationships, fornication, pornography, money. You think you can buy peace? You think you can get peace? This world cannot give you peace.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it'll die off. It'll wear off.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ looked at His community. Matthew 9, look what it says, verse 36. Every time I think of South St. Thomas, this is the verse I think of. But when He saw the multitudes, Jesus was watching His community. He was watching the people He came to save. He says, but when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Does that not describe our society today? Then say the unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that they would send forth laborers into His harvest. See, this world cannot give you peace. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter number 14. You're there in Matthew? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 14. This world cannot give you purpose. We are people. You understand this? We are people that are driven by purpose. That's just a scientific fact. People that do not have purpose in their life are depressed. They are sad. That's why, you know, a big liberal wrote a book, you know, The Purpose-Driven Life, sold millions of copies. Why? Because people are trying to find purpose. It's true. And today, when people have no purpose, when they have no plan, when they have no peace, when their lives are falling apart, they don't. But here, I'm here to tell you, the world cannot give you peace. The world cannot give you purpose. The world cannot give you stability. There's only one person that can do that. His name is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Come on.
John 14, are you there in verse 27? Look what he says. This is what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Go to John 16, look at verse 33. John 16, verse 33. You're there in John 14? Flip a few pages. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you. Look what he said. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace.
Come on.
Hey, Pastor Man, I'm looking for peace. You find it in one person, in Jesus Christ.
That's it.
In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Come on.
Did you keep your finger there in Ephesians 2? Go back to Ephesians 2. Remember I told you to keep your finger there? Ephesians 2. Remember, you were lost and without hope. You were at one point without God in the world. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We're almost done. Just stay with it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at the time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now notice what it says. But now in Christ Jesus. He said, you used to be without hope. You used to be without Christ. You used to be without God in the world. Does that describe some of you this morning? But now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You can get close to God through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. By the way, that's why Jesus came. For He is our... What's that next word say? Peace. Who hath made both one... and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. See, you used to be at enmity. You used to be at odds. You used to be an enemy of God. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. I don't want to go deep into that, but when you got saved, you were at odds with God, but you know what happened? You got saved, you became a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You became two people, an old man, remember twain, and a new man, and that new man has peace with God.
Amen.
Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. He said, you used to be a stranger. He said, you used to be a foreigner. He said, you used to not be someone that was part of the family. But now you're part of the household of God. Verse 20. And are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the only one that can give you peace. Mm-hmm. Quickly, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I just want to give you these verses and we'll get through it. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, 5, verse 1. Therefore being justified, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to see it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore being justified by your good works. Is that what it says?
No.
Therefore being justified by, what's that say? Faith. And it doesn't say faith plus getting baptized, faith plus living a good life. It says being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are saved and you're trying to fill a void. And I don't know what you're doing it with. Alcohol, drugs, fornication, gambling, making a whole lot of money, and you think that's going to fill. It's never going to fill it. Only one person can do that. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, people try to say, people say to me, like, well, can you explain it to me? You know, people are like, I don't want to get sold out. I don't want to be radical like you. That's weird. You get up and you yell. You get up and yell at football games. Get more excited over someone playing with a ball. Get more excited about some adult playing a game for children. Making millions of dollars off of you while you can't pay your rent. You get excited about that, but you don't get excited about Jesus?
Well, that's a little too much.
That's
29. Say, can you explain that to me? I can't explain it to you. Here's why. The Bible says, don't turn there, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it to you.
That's right.
I can't break it down for you. I don't even understand it. I just know it's real.
That's right.
God wants peace. God wants goodwill. Let me just read these verses for you. Go back to Luke 2:13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. He says, I brought peace to earth. He said, I brought goodwill towards men. You don't have to turn here. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm not minimizing your lifestyle. They ought to see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We ought to live a righteous life. We ought to have good will towards men. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Let me ask you something. Has this Christmas season been all about you? Has it been all about your family? Well, what I want for Christmas and what I want to do and what I want to do, that's what our whole lives are about. Our lives ought to be to have goodwill towards others. Mm-hmm. Esteeming others better than selves. Loving others, caring for others, being there for others, praying for others, providing for others, giving to others. Are you doing that? See, here's what you understand. Okay, are you there in Luke chapter 2? I'm going to show you 5 verses and we're done. And they're in Luke 2, okay? The message was to sinners. To the shepherds, about a Savior. They gave him a sign. Are you following how this all alliterated? That's pretty good, right? You guys don't care. The message was to society. Peace, goodwill towards men. Okay, but the message was meant to be shared. Are you there in Luke chapter 2? Look at verse 7. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now notice what he says. Which shall be to all people. Skip down to verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know what I like about the shepherds? They were soul winners. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. When they found Jesus, when they found Christ, when they found peace, when they found what they were looking for, they went around telling other people about it.
Come on.
And by the way, that's what God left you here on earth to do.
Come on.
Amen. You ever wonder this? Why doesn't God save you? And then immediately just take you to hell. And wouldn't that be great? No more work. No more rent. No more, you know, this and that. Don't have to buy any Christmas gifts for anyone. Why did he leave you here? Here's why he left you. So that you can then take the message to others.
Yes, don't tell them about.
Why did he tell those shepherds? Not just because he liked the shepherds. So the shepherds could then go, look what it said, look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. 2 questions. Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you die today, would you go to heaven?
Amen.
Don't leave here. You say, Pastor, you're mad. I do not know. If I were to die, I do not know. Listen to me. Do not leave here this morning without finding out. Say, who do I talk to? Talk to me. Talk to any of these guys that are helping with the offering. Any of these guys, they kind of look like they've been around here for a while. Talk to them. Talk to somebody. Your lady, talk to my wife. Don't miss. Get so busy celebrating Christmas, you miss the reason He came. He came to save you from your sins. Mm-hmm. Say, Pastor Jimenez, I'm saved. Then let me ask you this question. Are you sharing the message of salvation?
Yes.
You know what the perfect time of year to share with someone about Jesus?
Christmas.
Amen. You're all busy celebrating Christmas? You say, hey, let me tell you about the Jesus of Christmas. Share the message. You know, I don't know about you. Maybe you're a wise man. Maybe you're in that class of society, but let me tell you something. If I was in this story, I'd have been the shepherd. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I don't have gold and silver and or gold and frankincense and myrrh that I can bring to Jesus. Then just do what the shepherds did. They didn't bring anything, but they told others. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you.
Thank you for our church. Lord, I know it's just a Christmas sermon. I know we're just trying to learn some truths from the Christmas story. But Father, I pray you'd help it to sink down into our hearts. Lord, to realize that we are here to minister to all people, to love all people, to accept all people. And we are here to share the message of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. Thank you for coming to this earth to be born in order to die upon Calvary. In your precious name I pray. Amen.